Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
game? Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Man, I love the reaction that we get from people that haven't been in the studio when they hear that ending of our intro about our good friend Urban Meyer, man. But what's up? You already know what it is. I am your host, Jose V. You are tuning to Straight Bet Sports once again here live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, or Las Vegas, Nevada, if you want to call it that. Your sports and entertainment capital of the world. No matter what, we have it all now. So you know you can come here and have a good time. But tonight, or this evening, should I say, because it's a little past 4 p.m. We no longer have a night show here, but I'm going to be on my own tonight. But I do have a guest co-host in the studio. He's a return guest. He's been on the show with us before. Flipping it up with him a little bit today. He's going to be doing some of the questions with our main guest that we have here today. But he is none other than Chet Malik Jones, a good friend of mine. Welcome back, my man. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. How you been?
Hey, coach, got you back in the studio, man. Yeah, I'm doing definitely. Better now. Got lots to talk about. It's been a minute. Yes. We got Summer League. We got our good guy, our good friend Marvin Coleman joining the show here shortly. Mm-hmm. We got some other individuals to talk about that are local, that are playing here in the Summer League as well, that I want to get your thoughts on that. But aside from everything that we're going to talk about today, man, how you been? How's everything with you?
I've been great, man. Just sitting back, enjoying this Vegas heat that I missed for so long. You know, nothing like Vegas standing heat in the middle of a skillet.
Cooking yourself up like you were an egg at the same time. Nah, I feel you, man. But Ian, I know Ian's not in the studio today. As I said, as you guys see, he is dealing with some family issues. His parents did get COVID and his wife is dealing with some health issues as well. So we wish them all the best and hopefully they get better soon. And we'll have Ian back in the studio as well. Keep following him, supporting him as well. Give him his thoughts and his prayers for his family. We greatly appreciate you guys. We got the homie in the studio as well today. A good friend of mine, Jalen, decided to stop in and just hang out with us. Trying to get some people to come in the studio and hang out and enjoy the show while we do it live. So if you want to do that and you know me personally, hit me up, man. We can definitely make it happen. But before we get the show started today, I'm gonna do what I do every single week, and I'm gonna ask you guys to do what I ask you to do every single week. Drop that like, drop that comment, press that share button, and we'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you are watching today and what you are tuned into. If you have any questions and you want to give us a call, 702-608-3259 is the number. If not, we have all social media platforms popped up for Gorilla Cross Radio right now. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We are live on all of them. We will read your comments. We'll even put them out there if that's what you want. Interact with us in any way possible. We greatly appreciate you. But I got to give a big shout out to my guy, Eric Navarro, was a former sponsor of the show. He's still riding. He's still rocking with us. Hooked me up finally today, man. I got a haircut. If you guys saw the video, I posted it out there. And you need a cut, go ahead and hit up my guy, Eric Navarro from Line Him Up by Eric. You find him on IG. If not, the books he at, man. It's very easy to find him. But let's get into it now. All that's out of the way. All the scriptures are done. No more talking. No more edit. Let's just get into the conversation that we're going to have with a good young man. I'm so happy to have him back on the show. If you guys saw the previous show that we had him on, it was very emotional, but it was good. He let out a lot. He spoke about a lot of things that he was going through, and we got a lot of good feedback from it. A lot of people were chiming in, good, positive comments all over social media. He loved it as well and ran with it in a good, positive note. Didn't want to tell us where he was going that day. But now we have the answer, and someone here in the studio also made it happen. But let's welcome our guest tonight, joining us all the way from Evansville, if I have that correct, right?
Yep.
That he's out there right now.
Evansville, Indiana.
Marvin Coleman, joining us here live on Straight Bet Sports. My guy, was good?
Good, man. Happy to be here again. What's going on?
Loving the hair, man. What's up?
Yeah, man, you know I got to grow it out.
The Indiana after living or what?
You know, just trying to figure out something new. I had it in braids. I just took them out probably like a week ago. So, you know, I'm just trying something out, you know. Got to, you know, just trying to look grown. That's it.
Trying to look a little bigger. I got you, man. So how's everything with you since you left Vegas? How's the whole transition been from dipping here and moving out there to Indiana so far?
It's been different, honestly. You know, I was blessed to be at UNLV for 4 years at home. in front of my family and everything like that. So being a hometown kid, moving all the way to Indiana is different. It was a huge adjustment getting used to the time. So I'm calling home like late at night, or they're calling me and it's 10 o'clock there, it's 12 o'clock here. So I'm asleep or something. So I think that's been the biggest difference, just getting adjusted to the time. The weather's not too bad. It's the humidity is what's been annoying. But other than that, it's smooth.
See, that makes sense. Now I know why he don't text me back sometimes when I'm texting him. I forgot about the time. I totally forgot you weren't in Vegas no more, my guy. Yeah. I apologize for that. But you got something for the young man? What you got?
Oh, man, it's just it's great to see. You know, I've from the very beginning, Marvin is a special kid. He, it's great to see a kid be rewarded for the work that he's put in. Yeah. You know, selling Marvin was not a hard thing at all. You know, he had a reputation. He had a reputation that preceded itself. His work on the court spoke for itself. And he's one of those, you know, I've had a lot of kids where you go and you try to sell them and you think everything's good until coach wants to talk to him. You're like, oh, man. But Marvin, he takes the ball and gets running, you know, no pun intended. But all it took was him to get an opportunity to sit down with coach, and they absolutely fell in love with him, and he's doing a great job there. He's really gonna get the opportunity to blossom as the leader that he was meant to be. You know, there's nothing like being somewhere where you are coveted, you're wanted, and they want him, he wants them, and I think this is gonna be a beautiful, beautiful marriage of these of that program and this young man.
Marvin, so aside from them wanting you, basically how it sounds here from what Chess saying, basically they want you to be there, they make you feel wanted. When we had you on the show, you had a few offers, you had a few options. You had said that you already had some, but you didn't want to mention any because you didn't want to throw anything out there. Cool, we now know that you're at Evansville. Aside from what was just said, what was the final deciding factor that you said, that's where I want to play my final year?
I think it was just the relationship that I built with them through the recruiting process. All four coaches, Coach Rags, Coach Snow, Coach G, and Marcus, they were all reaching out to me every day. And it was like, it just felt like a family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been in college for 4 years, so I know the recruitment. I've been on recruitment dinners. I've talked to recruits and stuff like that, but it didn't feel like that. Like, they were recruiting me. They were talking to me like I was a person, not just a basketball player. You know, Coach Rags, like, our relationship, he's like, you know, we're talking about stuff like after basketball. You know, how you doing today? How's your mom? How's your little brothers? You know, just little stuff like that. That interests me more than talking about the X and O's because, you know how to play basketball. I know you put me in any system. I know how to, you know, I'm a point guard. I know how to make things shake on the court. But the relationship that we built with all the coaches, I think that's what really, you know, led me here, because it was just the fact that it was just such a family and all four of them were doing their job. It wasn't just like Coach Rags or one assistant. All four of them were reaching out to me. So it just made it a no-brainer.
Once again, you are tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, Quan 5'9", got my guy Chet Malik Jones in the building. Coach Chez, we like to call him, hanging out with us here, chopping it up with Marvin Coleman. I don't know why I got Jones. I'm looking at other stuff over here.
Man, I got two, man. I can't take another one. Can't take another one. He's bigger than anybody in our house. You know how much he eats?
Oh, my God. But Marvin, look, man, obviously, we know the UNLV story, right? We know how you started, what you did. And obviously, a lot of us in life, we can take whatever we've gone through and use it to fuel us. But at the same time, that fuel can also hurt us, right? Sometimes if we don't do it the right way. What experiences from UNLV, from your 4 years, are you taking with you to Evansville? And if any, is any of that fueling you to be maybe a better player or something that you feel you weren't while you were at UNLV?
I think, honestly, just all of it. You know, my 4 years, each year was like completely different. Going from a walk-on, leading the team to second in the Mountain West, getting hurt, then my senior year was up and down. I think I could put all of that together to leave for my final year. You know, obviously having a bigger role, like, you know, kind of how I did my sophomore year at UNLV, you know, being the ball in my hands, playing almost the whole game, just leading in that way. I think the biggest thing for me for here is just asserting myself like more dominantly, like, you know, being aggressive, being consistent every game. You know, there was times and glimpses my sophomore year where I showed, you know, I had that triple double. I had a game winner at 19 here, 16 here. But then there was also games where I only had like four, or, you know, just being a complete player, taking care of the ball, getting wins. Most importantly, you know, Evansville, they didn't really have, they haven't had the most success in recent years. So I think just coming here with Coach Rags and the staff, and, you know, he brought a group of guys in that, you know, we're all on the same page and wanting to win. So I think just being a leader for that with my knowledge, it'll help us a lot.
This is beautiful, man. Like, I haven't seen Marvin since it's been a few months, but it's just a look in his eyes that there's
talk about it.
Yeah, it's look, Oprah, you're not gonna do that. You're not gonna do that. But yeah, it's it feels really good. You know, it's funny. He's familiar with the kid. There's the Davis brothers. Jordan Davis played at Northern Colorado. His younger brother was actually going to come play for me out in Phoenix. But his older brother, Jared Davis, played for Coach Snow, who brought in Marvin. And Snow is a great guy. And I told him, I said, look, flat out, man, this is a kid that I care about. This is one of our kids. This is a Vegas kid, okay? This isn't a kid that, you know, ran through campus at UNLV and was heading back to his home. This is a Vegas kid. I have to look at this kid, his family, his peers, his friends, and I can't send him somewhere where people are not going to take care of him.
I got you.
You know, I need, and he has lived up to everything that I expected from him and his staff as well. You know, these guys genuinely care. Now, a little bit about this staff. These are guys in Evansville's greatest moments as a program. They were a Sweet 16 team. These guys were part of that. So they're bringing back the tradition that they had, that great tradition that they had. So bringing in guys like Marvin and some of the other guys that they brought in, these are contrived decisions and movements to get that program going back in the right direction. So this just isn't, we found a kid that's decent, let's put him on the floor. This is a kid that they're feeling as though will help them get back to where they once were. So this is bigger than just, hey, let's find a place for a kid to play. This is a strategic move on their part to rebuild this program. And that's a lot of, that's commendable. When a coach looks you in the eye and says to you, we want you to help us get to there, that's bigger than just putting you on the floor to have you play 15, 20 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. So to see him be in that situation, you know, I'd spoken to some people before and I said that the beauty of this situation is he worked his tail off to get to UNLV.
Yeah.
UNLV wasn't their third, fourth focus, right? He was a guy that demanded their attention. He's a guy that got in that gym every day, who got on that floor, garnered the respect of his teammates, coaching staff, administration, and most importantly, the fans, right? Yep. So he worked and grinded to get that. Now he's in a situation that's the complete opposite, where these people want him like he is their priority. And I think when you get a kid that's been on the flip side of it and has really had to work just to be seen, now the visibility, he's going to run with this. He's going to run with this. They're going to do well. And I would not be surprised if they do well because of his presence, be it on the floor or off. He's seen both ends of it.
Marvin, listening to the words that's coming out of Chez's mouth, what he's saying about you, everything that he's talking about, you being an individual, what you're going to bring to this program, and him being a vocal point and trying to get you to Evansville, does that put any more pressure on you? Not only to succeed for yourself or for your family, whoever it is you want, but to someone like this individual that's putting so much into you because he believes in you.
No, I think it just makes me go harder, you know, just to, like, I'm firm on, you know, the people around me. You know, I like to, you know, make them look good. So, you know, for him to put his stamp on me and, you know, help me get to where I'm at, it's just that more motivation, like another person, another why, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's not just for me. I'm not just doing this for me at the end of the day. Like, I do it for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, like I said before, like kids, everybody like that. So it's not pressure. It's just like a reassurance to, like, keep going. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's so much that I've done, but there's so much more that I can do.
So I got a question for you, and this one was given to me by a friend of mine last night, and he wanted me to ask you this question. He said, because anything's possible, right? I know this is probably one in a million trillion chance, but do you kind of wish that hopefully both you and Evansville and UNLV make the tournament and possibly just meet up? Just, you know, just possibly meet up. Like, has that crossed your mind at all? And that was asked to me. That's not even my question. That's someone that I know that wants me to ask you that. So has that crossed your mind at all? Like, hopefully we can cross paths and get to the tournament and give me that opportunity. Come on. Come on.
In a perfect world, I mean, I don't know. That's just,
like, you can't answer.
I think anybody can answer that question. I don't know. I just, being able to make the tournament would be a blessing, no matter who I play. But I feel like playing UNLV, it'll put some, you know, extra oomph on the game. But I don't think, you know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That goes both ways, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That Marvin Keyshawn matchup would be
interesting.
Very interesting. Oh, so. It'd be very interesting.
Marvin's like, yeah, okay. Since we're talking about matchups, mm-hmm. Chet was talking about it earlier. Talking about the post game, right? They got them. Yep. They got them playing in there. Talk a little bit about that. You guys have been having that conversation. Talk about how that's going.
Yeah, I think that's a really good look for him. Like, you know, he's you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but he in a Magic Johnson kind of a way, he's really good with putting a defender on his back,
okay,
kind of backing him down. So now actually putting him in the post and his ability to find guys out of the post, he'd almost be like a post guy that's a good passing post player. And if they have guys that can knock down shots or guys that are really good at slashing to the basket, cutting to the basket off the ball, he would be really good in that situation. You know, he makes good decisions. He's a strong guard, and kind of going back to the question you talked about pressure, that was a statement I would have made to you on our own if I didn't think that he was mentally the type of kid. And this is where being arrogant enough, that doesn't matter. Like, some kids aren't mentally tough enough, and that would be too much pressure for him. But this guy has every belief in his mind. He's going to be a lottery pick next year.
Okay.
And I would never stand in the way of saying, no, that isn't realistic, this, that, and the other, because that's the mentality you want of guys around you.
Always, yeah.
You don't want guys that are thinking, I'm just good enough to be here, okay? And this guy has the mentality and the heart of a lion, and he's going to be able to accomplish more things than probably his ability should allow, because mentally he believes that he can do all of these things. Yeah. So that type of statement, I can make that type of a statement in regards to a kid like that in front of him, because he's mentally tough enough that he's just going to be like, hey, I'm doing this for my city.
I got
you. And, you know, and his little brother. Like, you know, I think that's a great mentality to have. And I think that mentality is why you can put a guy that traditionally is not strong enough or big enough to be in a post, but you can put him down there and he can really make some offense happen for you.
And are you enjoying that, Marvin? How's that transition been for you, learning a little bit of that and playing more in the post right there and practicing that?
I like it. I played in the post a lot in high school. And then we did a couple things at UNLV for me in the post, but I think it just adds more to my game. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of guards don't know how to guard the post. A lot of guards aren't comfortable playing down there. So for me to be able to be down there, it creates mismatches for other opponents, and it just opens my game up even more to be able to play all three levels.
Jose V, Quan 5'9". Coach Chet Jones in the building, chopping it up with Marvin Coleman, senior point guard for Evansville University, former UNLV running Rebel, but he will be a Rebel for life. We already know that. We talked about that in the past. That will not change. Family, you brought up family, your brothers. Your mom was in the studio with us when you were here before. Real quick, how's mom's doing, and how's the whole transition working for her?
She's doing good. I talk to her almost every day. It's funny because when I first got out here, I was getting adjusted. You know, me and my teammates, we were all moving in at the same time, so we weren't hanging out every day and everything like that. So I was calling her, just talking to her, and I'm like, Mom, like, I'm bored. You know, guys are different. Like, you know, just talking. So the last couple of days, I haven't called her every night, and she's like, oh, you must be getting along with your teammates. You must, you know, just, you know, we're real close. So, you know, she's been joking with me, but I think the transition's been good for her, just being able to see me so far away might be hard, but I think she's straight.
And happy. She's happy to see
you. That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's all
Yeah. I think that was also a huge thing when I was getting recruited. Like, we had a Zoom call with the staff, and she could just tell, like, the staff was different.
Yeah, I could tell.
I think that was a big part of my decision coming here, too, because it was like, Mom's could, you know, she could really tell that, you know, the staff was different and they cared about me as a person. So it made it easier for her to let me come.
So after the way it ended with UNLV, this family, let's call it that, basically showed you true love and opened up their doors, not just like any other program that was trying to bring you in, and you felt genuine about it and it was the right move for you?
For sure. Like, I'm going to be honest, like, I stopped taking calls from some schools just because it was like, it just felt like straight business talk. Like, it was like, Marvin, what are you going to do for us for this year? You know what I'm saying? It was like just straight basketball, like, which I understand it because, you know, some schools, you know, expect to win at a high level and play like that. But at the end of the day, like, I still am a human being. So I wanted the coaches to care for me on and off the court because, you know, I'm going to have bad games. I'm going to have bad days. But what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to respond to those days? You know, are you going to leave me in a doghouse? Are you going to leave me in a dark? Or are you going to care for me? Mm-hmm. So this staff, I really felt like they would care for me. And everybody that I talked to when I was getting recruited by them, like Shay, other people, like, they had nothing but good stuff to say about the staff. So it was a no-brainer.
Another thing, too, I want to talk to you about, the transfer portal. Transfer portal has just become the most craziest thing in the world. You don't want to play somewhere, you're out, you dip. Yeah. But some guys do it for the right reasons, hence Marvin, you know, his situation and all that. But now that it's so common, we see a lot of guys that do leave and try to do that one senior year, graduate year, and play somewhere else. We've seen it happen at UNLV. A lot of guys come here for 1 year, and it just doesn't pan out the way that they expect it. Yeah. Has that crossed your mind, and how do you balance that out to say, hey, no matter if it's my final year or not, I'm going to do what I got to do to ball out?
I mean, I'm not one of those guys. Like, I'm loyal. You know what I'm saying? Like, once I'm not a halfway, how do you say it? Like, halfway, 1 foot in, 1 foot out type of guy. Like, I'm 10 toes down wherever I'm at. So that's why I was at UNLV for 4 years. In high school, I was at Foothill for 4 years. I only played for the prospects in Vegas Elite. Like, that's just the type of person I am. So, I mean, I believe in the transfer portal for some people. You know, some situations are hard to get out of. So, you know, some people may need to use it. But I'm one of those guys, like, I'm going to stick it out like I did at UNLV. So here at Evansville, I came here for a reason. I have 1 more year. Like, there's no reason for me to even think about that. I have this year to lock in and then make dreams for my professional career after this.
Once again, Marvin Coleman, Evansville senior point guard, joining us live here on Straight Bet Sports. Jose V, Coach Chen Malik Jones. And we got our guy Quan 5'9 in the building. Jay Madrazo showed up a little bit late, but he's here. Going to be talking some soccer and some sports with us here shortly once we're finishing up with Marvin. But I know you've been watching some of your guys here in the Summer League, man. Me and Chad were talking about it earlier. What have you seen from some of your former players so far here in the Summer League? And have you been enjoying what you're watching?
Man, I'm going to keep it real. Like, it's just like a blessing. Like, I am so proud. Like, I tweeted something the other day, like, just seeing people around me succeed, it just does something to me, bro. Like, it just makes me go harder. Like, it's just like a, it's just like, it warms my heart. So, like, my brother Bryce, he's playing on the Miami Heat right now, their summer league team, bro. Like, it's just like, I sit here and watch the games. I'm like, dang, bro. Like, he's like, it's stuff that we talked about. You know what I'm saying? And then watch the stretch. He's playing on the Brooklyn Nets. Like, you know, their interviews and stuff like that. Amari, he's playing on the Cavs. His little brother's playing on the Mavericks. Like, bro, just being like, because I know everything that those guys have been through. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see the stories, you hear stories on pros and stuff like that, but it really doesn't hit home to us like one of your guys. So, like, for those guys, like, I know what they've been through. Like, I've seen them put in the work. I've seen, like, you know, like, they're battle tested. So just being able to watch them on TV, like, in the NBA jerseys, living out their dreams, bro, like, it's just, it's like, it's motivation for me, honestly, to keep going harder so I can get to where they're at. But, like, it's just, like, I'm so happy for him. Like, I keep telling Bryce, like, I'm proud of him. Like, just simple. Like, no matter what he does during the games, no matter how it goes, like, bro, I know what it took for him to get there. So, like, I'm just proud of all my guys who are playing right now, and I hope them – I wish them the best.
So I got a question for both of you guys right now, because I've been trying to wrap my head around this. In my opinion, I think Bryce should have got drafted, whether it's first round, second round. We know he went undrafted, right?
Yeah.
But how does a guy that he beat twice get drafted in the first round over him when, in my opinion, Bryce was a better four-year player than Roddy was? Were you guys shocked when that happened? Let's be honest.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Come on. Let's be honest. Who wants to take it? Because, absolute. Roddy getting drafted, maybe I'm not too shocked. But that high and over Bryce?
Yeah.
And I'm not – call me a homer, but I saw Bryce from freshman year to his last year. Almost every home game he got to play, I was there.
I've known Bryce.
Yeah, you've known him.
I've known Bryce since he was Blake's little brother. Okay? So I've seen the maturation process. As I will say this, being a part of his circle, I'm going to be politically correct to a certain extent. Okay. First and foremost, I think I'd be remiss without saying that, understand that they're under the same agency, same sports agency.
Did not know that.
Yes. Roddy and Bryce are with the same agency.
Interesting. Okay.
So sometimes you pay more attention by not, on purpose, but sometimes you kind of pay more attention to this one and not to that one. And one with that moniker of player of the year, whether or not he deserved it or not, goes a long way, because at the end of the day, let's be honest, they're not staying up all night and watching Mountain West games.
Correct.
They're not. And I think the loss to Wyoming was pivotal, because if they win that game, I think they get to the finals of the Mountain West Conference. If they get to the Mountain West Conference finals, it's only because they beat two of the better teams in the Mountain West, and I think that gets them in. That at the very least, they're guaranteed to be in the NIT.
Gotcha.
Right? So I think now you're taking one game, which I think Bryce did a hell of a job in the second half of that game. I think he single-handedly tried to save the season for him. But if you give him now, let's say, another game and gets into the finals in two games in the NIT, I think that's four more games for him to show really what he can do.
And other scenarios and pressures too.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
So I think that had a lot to do with him not being drafted. At the end of the day, I think they're all here. I think draft night is a wonderful night. But at the end of the day, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, Tyrone Nesby, went through the same thing, went undrafted, and went on and had a pretty damn good career.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And as so many other players have. You know, I definitely think that Bryce was a second rounder. I think if they were to, I want to say something that he mentioned too about how happy he was. That's not hyperbole. That's for real. Because last night, we're sitting there, talked to Kevin, I talked to Bizzo. They're right there. I'm with Bryce and his family. They're right here next to us. Royce comes down. Donovan was playing in the other gym. But as his game ended, he came over to watch Bryce, and he actually walks in on the baseline while Bryce is on the floor, and he's yelling at him. He's yelling something, and Bryce turns to him and acknowledges him. These guys really, really genuinely cared about each other. But the thing is, understand, we talked about the transfer portal.
Yeah.
These guys really didn't know each other a year ago. Now, just imagine if all of these guys were together for another year.
Yeah.
We're not talking about their ability improving, but just the fact that they didn't have the time to gel, like a lot of these other teams, and the chemistry. But they've actually gotten an opportunity to know each other, because unlike most of the players a year ago this time, most of the teams a year ago this time, this team was meeting each other.
Yeah.
True. So that has a lot to do with the success that that team had. And I think ultimately the success that that team had dictated where Bryce was going to unfold. But that's the reality of it.
I got
you. Roddy was the player of the year. I personally don't think he was the player of the year.
A lot of us personally don't.
And a lot of people
think,
don't. Yeah. However, it's not like he came out of nowhere. He did have a great year, great career. I just think that that label gave him a certain level of pedigree that NBA scouts kind of gravitated to. But I know that Bryce worked out for a lot of teams. He did well. There are teams he didn't work out for that are still interested in him. And I think ultimately he's gonna do well. I think, and Donovan is similar to Marvin. Their level of confidence is really, 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 really high. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what's gonna get them over the hump. My only concern with that sometimes is that high level of confidence intensity, when things go wrong, they tend to beat themselves up a little too much.
Gotcha.
Which I think, in due time, as they mature, they kind of get away from that. But I see Donovan doing well. I don't know if he'll land. Neither do I with Bryce. You never know. But I think they've done well for themselves, because there are a lot of players out there that are doing themselves a disservice, because they believe that if they go out there and score 45 points, they're going to be a lock.
Yeah.
And GMs and coaches are looking like, how is he going to fit with Donovan Mitchell? How is he going to fit with Devin Booker?
Correct.
And he wants to take 25 shots. There's not 25 shots for you, young man.
It ain't gonna happen.
So I think that Bryce has surprised some people with how well he's defended, picking up the rotations and understanding where to be. And I mean, he made a couple of big defensive plays last night. Has he put up the offensive numbers that we're accustomed to seeing? No.
Yeah.
But you know, how many rookies really are, you know?
Correct, correct. So, Marvin, what you got, man? What you feel about that? What are your thoughts on him not getting drafted and Roddy being jumped over him?
I'm a huge Bryce Hamilton fan. I can't speak on that. I'm sitting right here watching the draft, and I can't speak on that. I'm a huge Bryce Hamilton fan. I just can't, you know.
Did it bother you, to be honest? Not only because you're a fan and you play with him. That's your brother. You said it. Did it kind of bother you, like he should have been drafted?
For sure. But I mean, I know a lot goes into that. So it's, you know, we could have won more, or, you know, he could have been more efficient, whatever. But I mean, it's going to work out for him regardless. You know, it's God's plan. It's not, you know, it's out of all of our control. So, yeah. You know, for him not to be drafted was whatever. But I mean, he's still going to have a great career.
Looking forward to seeing you here in Summer League next year, though. Because that's going to be huge. For you to be back at home, I guarantee you that's going to be huge. So I'm really looking forward to that for you, my man. I know it's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. But Marvin, before we let you go, my guy, because we're not going to keep you too much longer, we're going to talk some other stuff here. And I know you got to get some rest because you've been practicing, time difference and all that. But what can the Evansville fans expect from you this season? What are the Aces, right? Because you guys are the Evansville Aces. Is that what it is? What can the Aces fans expect from not only yourself, but from this team this season?
Man, they could just expect us to come out, play hard every game. You know, we're very hungry. There's really no expectation for us. You know, they didn't win a lot of games last season. So, you know, being able to just play hard, play with each other, get up and down, you know, we're going to move at a faster pace, not walking the ball up the court, none of that. Just, you know, get up and down. For me, you know, playing hard, someone who's going to be consistent every game, leadership at the point guard position, just, you know, being able to be that vocal leader, lead by example, everything, you know, just pouring my heart out for my last year. So Evansville fans can expect a new level of basketball.
Anything else you want to ask the young man before we let him go?
Stay healthy. I think that when you're coming in a situation that you've come into, do not waste any moments to bond with your teammates, because at the end of the day, the guys on the floor are the guys that matters. As much as coaches, we stomp and holler and all the stuff that we do, if we decide not to step out onto the court, the game can still be played. It's about the players. It's about your relationship and your bond with your teammates. And considering the fact that Midwest life, I went to Ohio State, I know Midwest life is boring. You got a lot of time to bond with your guys and really, really forge those relationships, because trust me, come December and January, that's what's going to matter the most. All right?
For sure.
All right?
Sure.
You're going to do well. I know you will.
Marvin, I greatly appreciate you, my guy. I greatly appreciate you always giving me the time of day, man. If I hit you up, you're there no matter what. So I greatly appreciate that. The fact that you're a part of the show with us and you've come on third, fourth time now, I'm not sure what it is. Appreciate that, man. I know you're going to do great this season. I know you guys in general as a team, as a family, you're going to do great. And again, like I said, we will see you here next summer in Summer League. I can guarantee that. I know that's going to happen for you. You're a great, amazing young man. And not only that, you're a great talent. And it's good to see it still going, man. So I greatly appreciate you. Best of luck to you. Continued success. And we'll talk soon, my guy.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good one, man.
Yes, sir. Get some rest. Marvin Coleman, man, joining us here on Straight Bet Sports. That was good stuff, man. Just a little bit. Didn't want to keep him too long because we got a little other stuff to talk about. But, of course, he's out there doing his thing in college, getting ready for that senior, that super senior season, as you want to call it, at the end, because it's the final one. Yeah. So I'm excited to see his games this year. I've watched a few Evansville games. Obviously, I bet a lot of college basketball games. Didn't want to talk about betting while we had him on because I didn't want to get him in trouble. Yeah. But I bet a lot of college basketball games. So Evansville is one of those lower mid-major teams that I like to look at and watch from time to time. So we'll definitely be checking out Marvin a lot this season, a whole lot more, man. So if you guys are not watching him or following him, please do so on all things social media. Marvin Coleman, you can find him out there. And follow his career moving forward, man. That's going to be a great thing. But kind of switching it up a little bit, staying here with Vegas, right? You and I were talking about it before we jumped in. Joel, you can jump in on this too if you want. We were talking about the Aces and what's going on this season. I told you how there was an article earlier that came out, and they're talking about how the Aces and Becky Hammon are changing the league and taking the league by storm. Only thing that I see, and respectfully, because I cover this team, I'm not trying to talk bad about the team, but the offense was always there. It's just finally flourishing. It's finally opening up. But defensively, this team has issues left and right. Not only are they averaging scoring the most points in the league, they're averaging giving up the most points in the league. Yeah. So that's not a winning pedigree. You're a coach, Chet. You know what it is to coach your team, to play it as well, because you were a player before you coached it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with the Aces from what you see on the outside looking in?
People need to understand this. Like, you look at some of what we are accustomed to, or not accustomed to, but what we're indoctrined to from Coach Tarkanian and his teams, putting up so many numbers yet holding teams to so few is unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, that just does, they don't necessarily correlate in the real world to basketball. Okay, to score 89, 90 points and hold a team to 50 is just not realistic. And that's why those teams are, in my opinion, the greatest college teams of all time. You know, what people need to understand is that if we are increasing our efficiency and we're increasing how many shots we take per game, we're also giving the ball back to the other team.
Correct.
So they have, their efficiency increases as well. So that's not always indicative of bad defensive teams as much as it is indicative of there's more possessions. There's just flat out more possessions. You see that in baseball. A team can have more at bats. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be more efficient.
Right.
So I think what really needs to, and I'm not an analytics guy at all. I just despise it, honestly, to tell you the truth. But the reality is when a team has more chances to score, they're going to score more.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think this Aces team is a lot more efficient than it's been in the past, and they're a lot more efficient than the teams they're playing right now. However, one thing that I take exception to is I'm a big advocate for the game of women's basketball. I think what Becky is doing is she's doing a great job of coaching this team. And as you and I have spoken before, what coaching is about is really getting young people, in general young people, to believe that they can do it, to get them to play at a higher level for a longer period of time. So you have to condition their bodies. You have to condition their mind.
Yep.
That's a dope rhyme. I did not mean to do that, but it's in my blood.
We're going
to
save it and clip it out.
Yeah, right? Definitely. You know, definitely. But no, in all seriousness, you want to increase and condition their minds and condition their bodies so that they can play at an optimum level as long as possible. And that's what she's doing. She's a great basketball coach, not because she coached men. She's a great basketball coach because she sat next to Popovich, okay? Yep. And I'm afraid that this narrative is going to become that, yeah, she's doing great because she has men's basketball experience. And that couldn't be further from the truth. She's a great basketball coach.
Yep.
And she would have been a great basketball coach if she sat next to Gino Auriemma, mm-hmm. or if she sat next to Pat Summitt,
you
know, Tara Vanderveer. You know, I don't want to see what she's doing for this team, that legacy to be clouded because people are saying, well, yeah, she's doing well, but that's because she was coaching the men. You know, just like women's players don't get better by playing against men. They get better because they put the time in the gym just like the men do.
And not only that, people are trying to hide the fact that not only did she coach and coach under a lot of great minds and learn from Pop, like you said, and got to coach great name players, she was also a great player herself in the WNBA.
She was a great player in the WNBA.
I think she was voted one of the top 25 anniversary of all time or whatever it was. She was a great player before she ever coached in her life.
Exactly.
So she, like you said, she knows the game of basketball inside and out. Now, I've been in press conferences after the game, and I've even asked her, and I've said it. You mentioned that offensively, this team is not where you want them to be. And I disagree. Again, it's the defensive side of the ball. Now, for her to say that as a coach, do you think she says that to just keep her team balanced and to know, hey, I want you to do better on offense, but yet she don't want to mention the defensive side of the ball because she knows it could flip it up? Or what is it?
Yeah. Listen, my son's a 3.0 student.
Okay.
Great kid, great athlete, this, that, and the other. So what do I have to get on him about?
Yeah.
His room. Your car's dirty. Like, you know what I mean? You have to have something.
Definitely.
You know, but at the end of the day, you know, like I said to you earlier, you know, congratulations, women's basketball. Yeah. You have moved into the future just like men's basketball. And guess what? Kids don't defend.
Yeah.
You know why they don't defend? Because no one cares. Bryce Hamilton is playing. I said this to his brother last night. I saw him play the best defense I've seen him play in 3 years. Okay? That's not what people are talking about.
Correct. They're talking about him going 1-for-4, like you said.
Yeah.
Him playing 23 minutes and only scoring 2 points.
That's what they look at.
They don't look at everything else that's around the game.
Yes. But fortunately, he's in a situation where that's being looked at and people are appreciating the fact that, wow, we know he can score, but he's willing to play defense. He's capable of playing defense. And I think that's what you're seeing over there. Women's game has they don't dunk the ball.
Correct.
So what they're looking to do is a lot of the things you see on the men's side, not the aces, but young players, the best high school players, the college players, right? They're trying to have that wow moment on social media just like the guys are.
Gotcha.
So what they're doing is they're focused on their game. They're focused on 1 pound crossover behind the back, jellies and euros and all that kind of stuff, because that's going to get them hits. That's going to get them likes. So therefore, that's what they're focused on. They're not focused on sliding their feet and sitting down and communicating, guns out, ball in man, all that. They're not concerned with that, because that's not going to get them all the way up there with the Mikey Williams and all those players at the high school level or the college level. That's really what that boils down to.
Joel, when it comes to the aces, you've seen them go up and down this season. Hot start, midway point's been a little bit rough. I think they lost 5 out of their last 7 or something like that, some crazy number. Can they sustain this, you think, for the rest of the season, though?
I believe so. It's crazy because we were talking about it, what, like 3 weeks ago, that we were like, you even mentioned, I'm going to the Aces game. We're in a good run right now. And yeah, I mean, and I look at the All-Star game. A lot of them got selected this year. Even
four,
when it was
four players,
even during the offseason, a lot of the players went overseas. So, you know, we're obviously doing something good. So we got to do more defense.
Do you think they can win it all this year? Do you think they can win it all this year, though? If they get the defensive side six.
With everything Las Vegas, look. Yeah, it's time. You know, look at how we've been doing like the past years.
Yeah.
We've been ranking pretty good.
Championship, didn't win.
What did we finish? First or second in the league last year?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
We're there, yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting run to finish out the season.
I think they're over the hump. I think they're over the hump in the same way. But a lot of what I talked about with the Rebels is that that final element, you see this with the Warriors, you see this with a lot of great teams. That final element is coming here needs to be a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Okay, in a series of 5 games, it's got to be hard to win a game here. And if that can happen and they can maintain that home court advantage, then yeah, they have a damn good chance.
And
understand this too. Another thing, going back to what we were talking about, her sitting on the bench. Let's not forget the fact that as assistant coaches, your brethren is those coaches you sit with, you break up, you chop films with. Guess who she sat next to for a few years? Ime Udoka.
Oh, hey, man.
Head coach
of
Boston
right.
Celtics.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So she's in good company.
Yeah.
She knows the grind of what it takes to win a series, to be on top of your marquee players. And that's what Asia needs. You know, somebody that's going to demand her to be at her optimum level, to be the best on the floor, to be the best in this league, night in, night out, in the locker room, on the floor. She gets that. She experienced it as a player. She's been around a guy who's really mastered that. I think there may be coaches that are better than Pop, but one thing Pop is, by next to Phil Jackson, probably the best at, and that's managing marquee talent. Okay. And he humbles these guys, and he gets these guys to play at a level and in a place that a lot of coaches aren't able to. She understands that, and bringing that to the Aces, I think, is ultimately going to be the difference.
So you being a coach, I'm going to throw this out here to you. It's crazy to me how we have two individuals here, and what I mean by that, we have Kelsey Plum, we have Jackie Young. If you look at Jackie Young from year one to year now, year five, I believe, she looks nothing like the first 4 years when she was under Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah.
You look at Kelsey Plum this year. She's on pace to be either comeback, if not MVP of the league, the way she's playing right now. Yeah. Just won the MVP of the All-Star game, breaking records as well.
Yep.
A whole nother different player that we saw in college but haven't seen in the WNBA because she had a different coach. She had a coach that thought it was better to bring her off the bench, but now we're seeing with a different coach that it wasn't better bringing her off the bench. It's better having her as a starter.
Yeah. Ultimately, though, for the longevity of her career, bringing her off the bench was probably better earlier.
Okay.
Because now her level of confidence is a mother when it comes to this game.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens is her confidence has told her, I can, I should, I will, right? So now she's at this point where there's no stopping her.
I got you.
There's no stopping her, right? So I think that the difference is, I mean, let's be honest. You think these players got better? They didn't necessarily get better, all right? It's a shift in mentality, okay? Yep. It's a shift in mentality. And that's what Pop was so good at, like, Tim Duncan came out as a damn good player out of Wake Forest. But no one thought he was going to be the greatest power forward of all time.
True.
No one thought that.
Nobody.
Everybody thought he was going to be good.
He was so quiet.
All
he was
time?
The, yeah, it was
Timmy.
Weird. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Timmy.
I feel as though it's Kevin McHale, but anybody who I say that to, their first statement, the first thing that comes out of their mouth, Tim Duncan. And Tim Duncan, you know?
Ms. Ballin chimes in on Facebook. She says, the third quarters are horrible defensively. I agree. We've been at the games and we talked about it. Third quarter lapses are the worst. It's like when the Warriors were hot in the third quarter in the finals and then everything else was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was the opposite for the Aces. And then she also chimes in and says, sticking to the basics and playing the right way is what Becky has been preaching since day one. So those basics got to get back to some basic defense because they're not even playing that, mm-hmm. man, if we're mm-hmm. being honest here.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch. This yeah. team has been lights out this season. Even with the losses, they're high-scoring, fun games. The crowds have been getting a lot better, so I yeah. give them credit
that's
to that.
That's it right there. That's the key. That's
more
the key.
People that's are finally difference. Saying, are you going to the Aces game tonight?
Yeah. We're always supporting.
Before, we would be like, hey, I'm going to the Aces yeah. game tonight. And they'd be like, who?
Half empty.
Who, yeah. Who's that?
Remember that?
We have was a WNBA it? Team. Like, it yeah. was always a conversation of who
and
is
that's
that?
What I was alluding to with UNLV. Yeah. That's the next stage. You saw that. You see that with the Warriors and a lot of these great teams. Is this has to be a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And it becomes a tough place to play when every single person in the stands is there because they are devoted to the success of this program.
Yep.
And that's the thing that really breaks my heart. At UNLV, I was talking with one of the high school coaches, and you know, sometimes I look in the arena at Thomas and Mack, and it's not that there's only 4,000 or 5,000 people there. It's that there's 13,000 seats where people have made a conscious decision to not go to the games. And I think that's the difference. You know, I don't think that we only have a handful of people there. I think we have so many people that are adamant about not coming. And once that changes, that'll be the difference. I think that staff is doing a good job. These kids that they've brought in and they've had in the past are good. That's the difference. And the Aces have somehow transitioned into that's what the city is focused on.
Yeah.
Let's go there because we are going to win a championship and let's help them win a championship. Let's witness greatness. And I think that's that final stage for championship. You've never seen a championship team that doesn't have local support.
Correct. Never.
Yeah. At any level, high school, college, NBA, NFL, it doesn't happen. And I think that they've got that. And if they continue to maintain that, this is going to be a hard place to play. And teams are not going to want to be at a disadvantage in a home away situation.
So we talked about the fan base. We talked about playing here, a place to play, it being tough. You and yeah. I had this conversation earlier, and I want to get your thoughts, too, on it. Mark Davis is the owner of the Aces, which is not a secret. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
The day that he took over as the Aces owner, I said, we will get an NBA team here, and he will have some type of influence. Maybe he won't be the guy that ends up owning the team, but mm-hmm. I think the fact that an NFL owner is here, and has taken over a WNBA team. And look what he is doing, because he's done a lot in the community and with that yeah. organization in general, yeah. bringing back the old school stars and all that stuff that he's doing to commemorate everybody.
Not Sandra Douglas, Sandra Morgan.
Uh-huh.
Las Vegas, El Dorado High. Like, come on. And that's big. That's big for the community. That's big for women.
Yeah.
It's big for the black community. Yeah. But that's a Las Vegas right there yep. in a very important situation. Yep. So, I mean, he is making...
He's smart.
He is not playing around.
Not only is he making popular moves for himself to look yes. like a popular owner, he's doing what he knows is right at the end
yes,
of the day. Now,
yes.
are some of these marketing moves? Of course, they're all business owners. They got to do what's right in the spotlight of everybody else. I mm-hmm. get that. I totally understand that. Yeah. But you also got to make sure that you do the right thing as well. And Mark Davis is doing that. Not only is he bringing in all the right people and making all the right moves, he's staying out of trouble. Yeah. He's not doing anything that's going to yeah. get him in trouble. Now, my thing is, I believe he will be influenced and he will possibly even help bring an NBA team yeah. here. Do you guys agree or disagree?
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
No, I agree. And check it out, which is unfortunate, saying like, we're talking about like the fan base, how you look at Thomas and Mac and you don't see how it's like the stands are all full. Well, we already showed that when we brought the Golden Knight. Like, look at the Golden Knights. Right. We're all out there. Everyone's talking about the Golden Knights. So,
shiny and what's
crazy,
toy.
It's crazy to me is that I feel like, you know, basketball is at a higher level of yeah. popularity. So, you know, we already have like half a step with the Aces.
Yep.
So I feel like, yeah, he's already yeah. in there. It's just getting the correct yeah. people. Like, what LeBron even mentioned it like earlier this month. He wants to invest yeah. into it. So having all these, we have, everybody comes to yeah. Vegas.
So look,
Tom Brady, every you yeah. know.
I look at it this way. And you're a soccer guy. You have yeah. guys that are in the NFL, that are in the NBA, that own or have ownership stakes in the MLS. Yeah. Why aren't we seeing some of these guys have ownership stakes in WNBA teams? Why do I got to see a guy like A-Rod buying NBA teams and WNBA teams when he has nothing to do with basketball? You see what I'm saying? Not yeah, taking it away
MLS.
From them. Correct. But that's what I'm saying. All these guys are going to a different sport. why not, as an NBA player, why not stick to your sport? Support the sport that's tied to the NBA.
I think it has a lot to do with the brass that are not, it's an old boys club, and I don't think that they're letting them in. But I think now, when the King says he wants in, I think that's going to change some things. I think it's going to happen. Only thing that I'm concerned with, because I'm a purist from the old days, is I'm just afraid in my heart of hearts that, because we've seen that the success of the Knights, the success of the Aces, doesn't mean that the city doesn't care about basketball. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it means that the city doesn't care about UNLV basketball. And I think that if a WNBA championship and bringing an NBA team here may signal the demise of the program, and that breaks my heart, because I'm only sitting here today because of that program, and I don't want to see that happen. I think that those are guys on that staff and kids that they brought in that really, really want this and are really, really putting in the time and effort to make it happen. But I fear that the success of those other things could mean the demise of UNLV as it once was.
And it's crazy, because if you think about it, before we had the Raiders, before we had the Aces, before any of that, obviously we had the Aviators and the 51s for years, but UNLV was the professional sport team here,
that,
if you want to be honest.
Boxing was our pro sports.
You saw UNLV as a professional basketball team. You didn't see them as a college team. They were the spot. They were the place to go. When I first moved to Vegas, they weren't the running Rebels as they were in the late 80s, early 90s, but they were still relevant. They were still making the tournament.
The smell was still there.
Exactly. Where I've seen it, going to games, less people in the parking lot, less people in the stands. Dude, I would get there 2 hours before games, this parking lot would be packed. Now you get there an hour before the game, it's not even halfway packed. Exactly. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think that I really, really believe that what we've seen is that it isn't a question of whether or not people want to see basketball. I think it's so much of a conscientious effort. It's almost like a final stick. It's like these people are intentionally not coming. I don't feel as though they're not interested, or there's something else distracting them. A WNBA's played opposite. I'm afraid that there's too many people that are harboring these bad feelings, and I think we're just gonna have to go through the cycle of letting that pass. And new blood coming in, and new alums coming in, and saying, "Hey, that's my school," and building it. And as the city blossoms even more than what it is today, I think there'll be enough to go around. And I think that they'll eventually get back there. But right now, in the immediate future, I think that bringing an NBA team here and the WNBA success will mean even more of what we're seeing with UNLV. And if we weather the storm, I think that by the time my kids are 20 years from now, 15 years from now, I think it'll get back there. The city is too big and too alluring for it to not have that. Definitely. But, I think we just got to wait it out.
Coach Che Jones dropping some knowledge, man. We got about 5 more minutes here. I promise, Joel, we talk a little bit of soccer. So, Coach Che, appreciate you, my guy.
No, you can't touch it with your hands, right? Hey. I know that.
Can't do that.
I know that.
Only throw-ins. Only throw-ins.
But just hang out.
Fast play. Just throw-ins.
Throw it quick.
Learn something new every
time. You can use your hands.
But they're actually trying to take that rule out. They're trying to make you place the ball.
I think that's a bad rule.
But
yeah, hang out with us shortly. Okay. And then I do want to get you back on another show, because I want to go through NILs and I want to get your thoughts on all that and what you think it means for college sports in general. So we're definitely have another show and have
Jordan
you on for
McCabe.
That
guy's the killer.
That's going to be interesting. We got to talk about all that. But my guy, I appreciate you. Just give us a few moments and we'll get you back on and we'll finish up. But Joel, real quick, some of the soccer stuff that we're talking about. Raheem Sterling, possibly Chelsea, right? We talked about that. It's done deal from what we see now.
Confirmed,
it's already done.
Confirmed.
The whole translation between Ronaldo possibly wanting to go to Chelsea or not, I don't see that happening.
Or
Paris Saint-Germain, which would be crazy, him teaming up with Messi with Messi.
Why
Messi,
not
Neymar, and Mbappe? So are we going to do this in soccer now like we do in the NBA?
Why not?
Super teams?
So we always talk about, what if this guy played together? We have a team that has infinite money.
Okay.
We're in a new generation, new everything. So why not put the two best of, the decade together and let him play a couple years?
He's 37 years old. How much does he have left?
Zlatan's 41. And I feel like Ronaldo's at a better physical point. So
true, Ronaldo does take care of his body
way better.
And my dad says injuries. He's a created physical specimen. The way he took care of his body and got to where he's at.
Has that diet.
He wasn't like that when he started. So
And look at Messi too. If he really takes care of himself, I feel like he's gonna go up to like what, 43? Maybe one more World Cup after this.
What are we gonna see, Ronaldinho playing out here? You're gonna see him in Mexico eventually. So let me ask you this though, real quick: do you see Messi or Ronaldo ending up in MLS, just like we just saw Gareth Bale go play with Carlos Vela in LAFC?
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna be some investors, or if even the rumor before the summer that he was gonna take over some stake of Inter Miami. Messi was, you know. So
I can see the Miami deal.
He can maybe do maybe 1 year here, and then the rest.
You know, I look at it this way. These big name guys, and you probably agree with me, that are in their mid-30s to late-30s that still have juice left in the tank and are still marketable, you need to come to the MLS. You're going to get the contract. The pace of play is a lot slower, a lot less physical, so you're not going to get those injuries that you were getting in Spain and other parts of Europe that you're playing in. So my honest opinion, I think guys like Ronaldo, I think guys like Neymar. Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, even though he's only in his 20s, when he gets older, all these guys need to end up in MLS. Yeah. And the MLS needs to find a way to make this a priority and something that they're going to do every year. Okay, who's the quote-unquote washed-up guy that can still sell tickets and sell merchandise? That's what they got to look at every single year,
Each transfer, yeah.
So
I was going to ask you as well, are you going to go to the, who's going to play, Chelsea versus America,
Chelsea,
right?
Chelsea America Saturday. I'm not going to be there. It will be at Allegiant Stadium. If you guys don't have your tickets, go ahead and get them now. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of tickets still available. It's a friendly. It doesn't really matter. There's no tournament or anything like that. But I'm not an America fan, but it's funny you say that. I'll be in Mexico at the
Chelsea,
end of the month.
Right? Because you're a Chelsea fan,
but I'll be in Mexico at the end of the month, and I'm actually going to the León America game at Estadio Azteca. If you know about that stadium, one of the biggest, if not, I think the biggest stadium in the world, I believe.
I think the second in Latin America.
Over 100,000 people that see it. It's insane. I'm excited to go, so that's going to be fun. And yeah, man.
And I was going to tell you too, Real Madrid and Barca are going to come out here.
Yeah.
But
a lot of stuff happening. Vegas loves soccer, which we're going to talk about that more on some more
Juventus
shows moving
I think
forward
is coming
as well.
Out here.
But with the lights and everything else, our good friend Brett Lashford.
Hey.
I hope you're doing good, Brett. And nobody's seen you in months. I don't know if I scared you away or what's going on out there, but no one has seen you, not even at a game, which is crazy. But Che, my guy, I appreciate you so much.
Definitely.
Last minute. I hit you up yesterday, and you're like, "Let's do it." Didn't hesitate. Yeah. So thank you so much.
No doubt.
Let everyone know what it is you got going on outside of here and where they can find you, my man.
Right now, man, I'm laying low. I'm waiting for my son's senior year to start. He had a great junior year. One of the better corners in the city. So we're excited about that. He's a senior, and he has a mustache. I don't understand how that happened. And then my eighth grader is the tallest person in the house.
Oh,
and
God.
It's like, you know, I get sometimes ready to call 911. There's like these men
in the house.
Like, what's going on? So I'm just, you know, I'm enjoying being a dad. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's fun. And, you know, doing everything that the boss, my wife, tells me to do.
Yeah.
And
happy life, man. That's
just
it,
staying
man.
Out of the way. But yeah, man, I appreciate being here. I learned a lot of stuff about soccer, so I'm gonna go out there talking like I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, you know, and you know, from what little bit I do know, Ronaldinho, man, is I've seen some stuff about this guy. Just a great guy, man.
One of the best
just
ever.
One
do
of
it.
The best human beings to play professional sports, and I just I posted stuff about it, and then people start commenting about soccer, and I'm like, yeah.
I just posted this. I don't even know everything.
I just know it. Look how good of a guy he is. That's all I know, man. So, but yeah, I love being here, man, and seeing my guy Quan and talk to sports with you guys is great. I appreciate you guys bringing me in.
Definitely, my man. We appreciate you coming in and giving us the time of day. Always take care of yourself and the family. We'll definitely be talking soon.
Man.
I know I'll see you out there as well. Games,
yeah,
events, and all that we always do. Jay, appreciate you coming in, my guy. We're going to have you on a lot more. We got to do more soccer talk. I need to get you on. So get ready, because we're going to do a lot more soccer towards the end of every show and put that out there. My guy, Jalen, he ain't on camera, but he's here hanging out with us. My guy, greatly appreciate you coming in.
Hair's
again,
fresh.
He looking fresh. Like Snoop Dogg. He got the braids and everything. But look, man, I'm going to finish out like this. I got a good final thought today, man. You guys know me. I've talked about mental health, and I've talked about speaking to someone and speaking up. Don't be afraid. I finally took my foot out of my mouth, and I started doing what I said I was going to do and what I've been telling people to do. I reached out to someone through my job. Thank God that my job offers that. I have been speaking to someone. Only did one session. Spoken to them twice, though. And it's good to say that I'm finally speaking to a therapist, and I'm speaking to someone that I can actually open up to and understand where I might be wrong, or maybe what I'm doing is not the right thing, or maybe I am and I need to learn from certain situations in my life. I love the step that I took. I have a long way to go, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. I don't care if anyone makes fun of me, calls me soft, calls me less of a man for doing so, because I'm not. I'm going to continue to do it, and I'm going to continue to get better, not only for myself, but for my family and everyone else around me. With that being said, my final thought, my brother Frank Greco has been dealing with drug addiction for years. talking about long time. I haven't spoken to him for a while. He disappeared off the face of the earth for a minute. I hit him up the other day randomly, woke up and thought, let me send him a text, see if it's still his number. He put himself in rehab. He's been in there only 30 days now, but he's been completely clean. He almost lost his foot to an infection, and he said, Che, I'm done. They call me Che too, by the way, because that's my nickname. He said, I'm done. I don't want any of this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And I miss my nephew. I miss you. I miss my family. And it feels good to hear you and talk to me again. All I'm going to tell you, bro, you have a long way to go. I'm proud of you. I love you. I always will. And just because I stayed away doesn't mean I didn't love you. It's called tough love, my guy. And sometimes I have to take care of my own before I can take care of someone else that's in front of me. But I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. We're all rooting for you. And if you keep it up and you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be right here in the studio with me soon, my guy. I love you. Keep it up. Till then, for Jose V, EMB, Quan 59, Che Malik, Jalen, Jay Madrazos, love you all. Till next week. Marvin Coleman, appreciate you. We are out. Peace.